Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Hello and a warm welcome to it. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. As you can imagine, we're getting ready to wrap up this week's business activities. But boy, shoo, has it been a week. They often say that there are days where years can happen and there are years where nothing really happens. And I think the last couple of days, we've actually witnessed a heightened level of activity on the global market front. Of course, it's down to the three T's: Trump, trade, tariffs. So tonight we'll definitely give you an update on these three, especially just taking a look at the impact that it has had on the market front. No doubt we're seeing a beautiful recovery and uptick so far today, but how long will it last? The next 90 days, what should we continue to anticipate on the back of this decision that's been taken? We'll also give you some insight into some of the concerns that have been raised in terms of insider trading that could be alleged. Other factors to also bear in mind is the fact that it is earnings season that's about to kick off in the US. And we've seen some companies actually hold off in terms of their estimates as well as their guidance. So that is definitely something to watch. Coming closer to home, though, we'll give you some feedback on We Buy Cars. Remember that company? Yep. Well, a year ago, it listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, and we thought just to revisit it. What's it been like 1 year after the listing of the company on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange? The outcomes, the earnings, and most importantly, what are they seeing in terms of our activity? The kind of cars we're buying, how much we're buying them for, and of course, the brands that we show a heightened level of interest towards. We'll give you this together with a better understanding of the business of airports and how essentially they are commercialized. And this is an important one. Beyond just making your way through security, the check-in counters and boarding your flight, there's lounges, shopping centers, restaurants, bookstores as well, and even at the occasional time, perhaps at nail spas and salons as well. So we'll talk about this and how essentially airports make money other than seeing the movement of goods and cargo coming in and out of their base. These are just a few of the conversations that we're looking to have with you on the show tonight. As always, we look forward to having your interaction. So do get in touch because there's a lot to discuss tonight. We're also going to make sure that we keep you entertained, informed, most importantly, enlightened, with a better understanding of how the world of business works and how there truly is a business story in everything. Your calls are welcome on 086-000-959, a WhatsApp voice line. Happy for you to share your texts, but more so your voice notes that we can hear you and play them on air. 063-688-0959. Alternatively, do get in touch on our social media at Kaya on air. Use the hashtag KayaBiz and feel free to tag me at Gugu Mfupi. It's just gone 10 minutes after 6 o'clock. And as we always do at the top of the show, let's talk markets.
KayaBiz Market Update.
This market update is brought to you by CFI Financial Group, the future of online trading. Empower yourself. Visit CFI.trade now. We're going to take a look and a deep dive at the markets today for a good 30 minutes because there's a lot for us to unpack and explore. But looking at the JSE All Share Index performance so far for today, as you might have anticipated and guessed, following the calls of a 90-day suspension that Donald Trump had imposed on the global tariffs to all nations, excluding China, we do see a beautiful recovery in the markets overall. Asia opened up in positive territory this morning. The Nikkei at one point was up by 8%. It closed in 9% firmer. Australia's ASX also 4.5% stronger. Chinese markets also not doing too badly either. European markets, nice update on the various indices there. The DAX, the CAC 40, the FTSE 100, all up between 3 and 5%. And you know what that meant for us when we opened up at 9 o'clock? I mentioned this on Seize the World earlier this morning, that we did see a beautiful opening on the JSE All Share Index. We've managed to close now 4.3% firmer, 86,041 points in the green. As anticipated, much of that recovery was largely within buying that took place within the resource stocks. Gold, platinum, those are certainly the counters that we've been quoting since the beginning of the year that have seen an outstanding performance. Again, largely because of their safe haven perception, or not perception, the value that they really do hold. Industrials and financials also saw a beautiful turnaround. Banking stocks took a beating yesterday. So it's quite interesting and beautiful to see how they recovered today, especially if we take a look at all the major banks that we're familiar with. At one point, some of them having fallen by 8% yesterday, the recovery today is quite strong. Let's take a look at that recovery and You know what's so interesting about the top 100 companies, never mind the top 40? I'm seeing only two that are in negative territory when it comes to the major moves down. Isn't that telling? So ultimately, almost every share price went up today in positive territory. Let's take a look at some of them. As mentioned, gold and platinum players certainly having a field day. Sibanye-Stillwater, Harmony Gold, DRD Gold, Anglo, Goldfields, all up between 9% and literally 10%. Also seeing the likes of Sasol seeing a recovery in their numbers. Bear in mind that they've been feeling a significant amount of pressure, not only because they have operations in the US and actually trade in terms of a particular concessions and agreements that have been put in place, but the oil price, that's been declining. And over the last few days, as that dipped below the 70 mark, that's where we saw the pressure increase on stocks like Sasol. Let's not forget what we see with the currency, because we are going to deep dive into this one in just a moment. We were flirting with 20 rand to the US dollar earlier on this week. For the most part, though, today does seem as though there's a slight recovery, but don't hold your breath. It might be too soon and too early to call. 1953 is where we're trading to the greenback. We are trading at 25.26 to the British pound, another currency we need to be mindful of, given that the UK and the Eurozone is also one of our biggest trading partners. And speaking of the euro, we are 21.83. Gold, all that glitters, that's it. 4.6% firmer, $3,156 per fine ounce, and platinum now at $930 there. Well, to help us unpack the markets and, of course, deep dive into the markets, Trump, the trade war, the rand, what this does mean in terms of ongoing speculation and the earnings season that's about to pick up within the US, we're joined now by Matete Tulari, who joins us from RMB. It is always a delight to speak to you, Matete.
I don't know if should I say happy Thursday or what do you say at this point?
Oh, man, Trump Thursday. I think is certainly what we call it.
I think it is befitting to say Trump Thursday.
Definitely. I'm trying to show you an image of a cap that I have here with me in studio that is actually Make America Great Again, that I managed to pick up and get out of my wardrobe following my trip to the US last year. And I think that's the point, right? We understand Trump's intention, but boy oh boy, I can imagine that for yourself and your colleagues on the trading floor, it's been a rough couple of weeks or days, really.
It has really been. And I mean, if you think about the rand yesterday really coming in within a whisker of breaching 20, really escalating global trade tensions, the mounting political uncertainty that we have here at home, I mean, it's really seen the market, unfortunately, because of our liquidity and, you know, as a risk proxy in the currency market, we obviously one of the first currencies to always get hit when the world is going south. And, you know, as we've seen and as I've said over the past couple of weeks, you know, there's now this favor for gold. I mean, just 2 weeks ago, we did speak about gold just under 3,000. And now here we are, we're $200 higher. So, yeah. And like you said, I mean, you know, even against the pound, you know, we touched an intraday record, you know, close to the record, I mean, at 25.47, not far from its worst level against the pound. I mean, the pound in 2016 got up all the way to 25.82. Now, you know, when you think about that, that is about 9 years ago. And at that point in time, it was a bit of a mixture of Brexit, you know, it was also some local issue that we had. On top of that, it was also Donald Trump's first win in the U.S. election. So it just goes to show that we're back nine years later, but it looks like Donald Trump is still in the mix. And also, I mean, we saw the currency breaching and touching all-time highs against the euro, breaching 22 against the euro. So really, markets have been rattled by this the latest salvo in this U.S. China trade war, President Trump imposing the tariffs on China. It's really intensifying fears of a full-scale economic war between the two world's largest economies. Like we've always said, when the two bulls fight, it's the grass that suffers. And, you know, the trade war is really buffeting global asset prices. You know, everybody's going into gold. You know, some other investors are also going into the likes of the Swiss franc as a safe haven. And then, unfortunately, you're also seeing oil prices slumping to four-year lows.
That's true. And speaking of the oil price, we do see how that's had an impact on the likes of Sasol, right, which I quoted just a moment ago. But I'm keen to talk about the fixed income space, because whilst equities have been in significant decline, it's the fixed income space that's really found itself under pressure, specifically U.S. Treasuries. And maybe just enlighten us on that, because that's essentially the money that investors put in to lend to the U.S. government. And over the last few days, there's been a significant sell-off on that front, too.
Yeah, look, I mean, whether you like it or not, unfortunately, you know, whenever there is this notion around you know, uncertainty in the markets, you know, we've seen this, you know, just from a local perspective, when you start there, you know, just from a fixed income perspective, since the GNU wobble last week, we did see, you know, our bonds weaken. We did see the yield there rising about 30 basis points. And more concerning was the longer dated 2040 bonds, which we saw them spike by 50 basis points to around 12%, which is indicating higher borrowing costs for the government for an extended period. And I think locally, when you think about that, I don't think much of us were expecting or anticipating the budget to do what it did over the past couple of weeks. You know, this political uncertainty happening at the same time as the U.S. tariffs means that SA assets, bonds, currencies, you know, they're now performing worse than what they normally would. But then you turn your attention to the US. I mean, the sell-off in these longer dated treasuries, you know, it's worsening the slump in the bond market across the globe. I mean, it's an escalation in the trade war. It's really sorry. It's showing the doubt over the safe haven status of U.S. government bonds. You've seen the yield on the 30-year surging as much as 25 basis points, which is something that we've never seen. You know, the last time we saw this was in November 2023. You know, bringing, I mean, it's really helping sell off government debt in such a way that, you know, worldwide yields across Australia, New Zealand, Japan, French bonds, everywhere, it's just slipping, you know. U.S. government bonds, I mean, traditionally, they're counted amongst the safest assets in terms of turmoil. But it's looking like it's losing the status, really, on concerns about what is a tariff-driven U.S. inflation, which may actually prevent, you know, interest rate cuts from the Fed, especially given the fact that they're meeting on the 7th of May. So, you know, the market already is starting to turn and look at cash-like instruments. There's a dislocation in the U.S. swap market. There's also now speculation that, you know, the likes of China and Japan, we know that those are some of the countries that hold the largest amount of U.S. treasuries. They're starting to sell, you know, their U.S. Bonds. And obviously, this is in retaliation to what is happening at this point in time. So it is quite an interesting factor that at this point in time, it is nobody knows what's going to happen.
It's interesting you say that, because a colleague of mine asked me earlier today, so what happens now? And I literally shrugged my shoulders and said, well, we wait for Trump. Maybe he'll tweet again and we'll see what happens in the next 90 days. And that's also just what I guess gets all of us as market participants really anxious. Trump has only been in office for what could almost be 90 days. He was inaugurated on the 20th of Jan. We're not even halfway through April just yet. But already there's been such a significant fallout in terms of the market dynamics and the significant sell-off and concerns around the shift that we see within trade partners. And I think that's an important aspect for us to potentially look at, is that the next 90 days doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be an easy ride either, right? Because this is where we're anticipating to get further feedback on other nations and what their terms and agreements are with the U.S. in terms of their tariffs.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, given the size of the tariffs and what is happening at this point in time, there is a greater chance of a U.S. recession. So many investment houses are coming out to say there's a 60% chance, there's a 40% chance. You know, there's also now, we saw the inflation number, yes, coming out earlier than expected, better than expected. But now there's also forecasts that say, look, inflation might hit back towards 3-4%. Which clearly complicates the job for Jerome Powell and his colleagues, which obviously in times like this, you know, they'd normally respond to weaker growth and higher unemployment, you know, by cutting rates, you know. And what complicates matters and conditions at this point in time is that it can change at the speed of a tweet, at the speed of a headline. You know, one of the hardest things that we've had to now comprehend is the realization that one tweet can wipe everything away. It makes things so different to what we saw in terms of economic shocks like COVID-19 or the recession or the global financial crisis. This type of unpredictability and what the president may tweet next can either create damage or reverse a lot of the damage. We've seen, you know, the fact that April 2nd was called Liberation Day and we saw a total capitulation. And then a week later, you know, he's backtracking. So it just shows you that unfortunately at this point in time, we are going to be moving from one headline to the next. You know, unfortunately, anything that regards economic data or some sort of headline that is around economics will take, you know, the backseat. It is really going to be about what the president says. And unfortunately, you know, like we've said, you know, for a great deal and for the past 2 to 3 years, the Rand has been 50% driven by what happens offshore and 50% what happens locally. That has now somewhat shifted. I think 70% of to 75% of that move is now really predominantly fixed on what happens from an offshore perspective, and around 25% now fixed on what happens locally.
Got you. Sure. So, yeah, GNU might be in the headlines, but it's certainly not moving the currency then, based on those numbers that you've quoted. Matete, we're going to keep you on the line to ensure that we get so much more from you in this conversation, because there are multiple layers to discuss, including some of the economic data coming out of the US, which is the CPI data having eased to 2.4%. We're going to take a quick breather. It's 24 minutes after 6 o'clock. We will continue our conversation with Matete Tulare of RMB. If you still want to talk Trump, tariffs, the trade war, the market fallout, and even the brief recovery that we see here today, do share your voice notes with us, 063-688-0959. Attention, South Africa. CFI Financial Group has arrived. With 25 years of expertise, cutting-edge technology, and FSCA licensing, we offer world-class trading on forex, stocks, and more. Ready to elevate your trading? Join CFI today. Visit cfi.trade. CFI. Empower yourself.
Award-winning finance and business content now brought to you by Capitec. Process payments faster at capitec.co.za/business.
You're listening to Kaya Biz on Kaya 959 with myself, Kukuletu Mfupi. As you can imagine, in the world of business, hey, it's been exciting being a financial journalist. A little bit more difficult being an asset manager, portfolio manager, trader, and I can imagine if FX strategist as well, like Matete Tulare, who joins us from RMB. As you've heard, we've been giving you some context and a better understanding of the market sell-off, the reaction to the trade war and tariffs that we know for now have been paused for 90 days. But bear in mind, a lot can still happen within those 90 days, because as Matete has mentioned, things can literally change at the sight of a tweet. And that's what we need to be mindful of. And this perhaps distracts us from the critical economic data that we should be investigating and reading into, such as the US inflation figures. The CPI numbers there today, Matete, they came in at 2.4%. Looking at this number, looks like it's a good reading. Does largely lead to the fact that the Fed should continue to keep interest rates either paused or even potentially look for a cut. But I guess the CPI reading, number one, is in retrospect. Number two, what we're really worried about is the impact and influence of the tariffs and the impact it will have on American consumers. How are we reading some of this economic data right now, but also the more significant risk factors being Trump and his economics?
So look, it's quite, as I said, I mean, I don't think anybody in the markets industry has went on social media platforms as they are going on now. Immediately after the U.S. inflation print, we saw Mr. Trump seizing the good news on his Truth Social post, saying inflation is down. But you know, I think from us, it's a case of it's the calm before the inflation storm. You know, I think we're going to get some higher inflation out of these tariffs. What we're seeing at this point in time is, yes, inflation in the US cooled, you know, broadly in March, indicating some relief for consumers prior to the tariffs that really risk contributing to price pressures. I mean, the CPI, excluding often volatile food and energy costs, that was also slightly down. But also, you know, what you see is the inflation slowdown really reflected a decline in the energy costs, used vehicles, and also airfares, the cost of motor vehicle insurance, which has been a main source of inflation for the past couple of years, has also came down. You know, I think, you know, the reports that we saw today really showed little impact so far from the tariffs that are already in place. And I mean, you know, in categories such as appliances that are more exposed to China, you know, we're expecting that to change in the coming months, as Mr. Trump has said that he is going to levy higher tariffs on the Chinese market. So I think it's only a matter of time before we see inflation most probably spiking out of control in the US.
And that's a major concern, right? Because the American citizens will feel the pressure. But what are the risk factors to us as an emerging market economy there, especially in terms of inflation and how our MPC will respond?
Look, I think, you know what, as much as, you know, I think on the 29th of May, we do have Governor Lesetša Kganyako obviously coming to the fore. You know, the Reserve Bank locally is not led by the Fed regarding cutting interest rates, but it does really keep a hawk's eye on what the Fed is doing. You know, and at this point in time, I suppose when they meet on the 29th of May, I don't really foresee them cutting rates. I think they're going to really be hawkish in terms of their statement. And I think what they are also going to talk about is the global environment in terms of what happens. And I think we all know Lesetša is a hawk. He is very cautious about inflation. So in that sense, I don't expect them to do anything come the 29th of May.
Oh, okay. We'll sit tight as South Africans because it does make things a little uncomfortable in terms of our positioning when it comes to interest rates. Something else that caught my attention, Madete, and this has been, I guess, part of the conversation that a lot of the international media houses are focused on, but even here at home. But earnings season is about to commence within the US as well as European market. And on the back of the significant share price declines, this also murkies the waters in terms of the guidance that these companies typically give us when it comes to their earnings. Some perhaps even widening their guidance or even pulling their guidance and deciding to come back at a later stage to say, okay, this is how our profitability or outlook is looking. As investors within the equity space specifically, how should we be mindful of the fact that perhaps there might be smoke and mirrors at play here, specifically with companies or industries that aren't performing well but can blame it on the macroeconomic environment versus those who are literally just finding themselves with lower valuations and still trying to, I guess, reposition themselves amidst the noise?
Yeah, look, I think if anything, we are really going to see a U.S. earnings season that will be really tumultuous. I think if you think about what has happened over the past couple of days, you've seen stock markets, you know, jump up and down. Everybody knows that, you know, we're really going to be focused on the Magnificent Seven. I don't think, you know, at this point in time, everybody is expecting some sort of good results from them. You know, there is also the big impetus in terms of focusing on the likes of NVIDIA and what happens out there. But I think if anything, you know, all companies at this point in time, they're really going to point towards the uncertainty that we're facing in financial markets, the uncertainty that is coming with the tariffs, the global environment, and how we move forward from there. So I think we have to take this earnings season with a pinch of salt. I mean, the mere fact that also there's been some headlines now regarding the fact that the likes of Jamie Dimon, who is, you know, he has spoken to Donald Trump. You know, it is headlines and rumors. We don't know how true this is, but, you know, he has said that, look, we need to have some sort of calmness in the markets, have some sort of stability. We don't know whether those things are really true or not. I mean, you know, you could look at it in either way to say, is it the same thing as business writing locally to President Ramaphosa that we need some sort of stability? It you know, all of these things at this point in time, nobody knows. It is going to be something that with the US earnings season, I think the market will take it with a pinch of salt, look through the data and obviously try to analyze the numbers and the financial statements of what the relevant companies will be, you know, bringing to the fore. But you know what, for me, I think this earnings season, it would be a write-off. And I think the key focus is also focusing on next month. I mean, it is the month of May where we say sell in May and go away. And I think that is also going to be quite interesting to see whether it is another full-scale, you know, downgrade in the markets where you see that negative returns. But like we said, I mean, it's only been close to 90 days with Mr. Trump in, and anything is possible at this point in time.
Ooh, buckle up, buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride going forward. Matete, thank you as always for your time. I hope yourself and your colleagues on the trading floor get some sleep this weekend. Otherwise, keep your eyes out for yet another tweet from Donald Trump that just might influence how you show up at work tomorrow.
Only a pleasure, Google. I suppose we'll need to wait for 9 o'clock. We've actually analyzed and said it looks like Mr. Trump comes out and tweets at 9 o'clock on most days. So three more hours to go before we see him.
So bedtime is after then.
Exactly.
Thanks so much, Matete. Such a pleasure speaking to you as always. That's Matete Tulare.
Only a pleasure, Google.
Thank you. Head of FX Executions at RMB, helping us unpack the market dynamics. You might have heard him mention Jamie Dimon there. He's essentially the CEO of JP Morgan. We also know that a few other businessmen have also come forward. The likes of Bill Ackman have also come through to actually share some of their suggestions with Donald Trump. And Bill Ackman, I beg your pardon, is actually a leader of one of the biggest hedge funds in the United States. So that's like big business essentially going to the president and saying, yo, Mr. Trump, slow down because you might be causing more trouble than what it might be worth. So let's see. That still needs to be shown. The outcomes still need to be given us some guidance. And ultimately, as you've heard, we're literally going to wait for Trump and his tweets again to see where this goes.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.